better manifest this into reality.
Yeah. We're gonna hit live. Not live.
we have to
bumming myself out again.
We need to be more specific with our terminology in the studio.
Yeah.
Just be like, well, that was our first live edit yesterday.
And they're like, ooh.
What did I say?
Welcome to our studio yet again. Garrett Atkins over here. Mr. Extraordinaire. He is we're just gonna shoot the shit a little bit. We're gonna see what comes out of here. But we were just talking right before we got to this. We were just talking about how like where we wanna be, what we wanna do, what things are happening. My 30th birthday is coming to light in the near future. So, and then we were just talking about a good friend of ours, Stephen Brooks, and how he's kind of a few years, probably like 12 to 15 years ahead of me, and how he's basically lived a probably closer to about 20 some odd years ahead of Garrett. And so I was just laughing about how he's basically had an entire life.
Yeah.
To the length of Garrett's entirety of his life. You know what I mean? Like, to have somebody double your age is basically pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, and then to have that not only as, like, starting back at age zero, but to kind of, like, jump in. And those years are built up on being an adult or being on a more clear journey.
Totally.
I would say. So it's like those years are more have the potential to have more substance and value and growth within them, just where you're positioned at and the freedom you have as a 22-year-old as opposed to an 8-year-old.
Well, and then and the reality is that I find the interesting thing about that is I get so caught up in like comparing myself sometimes. Like, oh, but fucking Zuckerberg was like 18 when he made Facebook.
Definitely. Yeah.
Right? Like, you have that moment where you're like, oh, well, this person is crushing it. Like, yeah, I mean, anybody who's chasing after legacy in some way, shape, or form is going to feel that. And I'm definitely
of that. I think it's funny that you say Zuckerberg because I don't even look at Zuckerberg at all. I don't even think about it in those terms.
I don't either.
And I like to kind of compare myself to somebody who I definitely compare myself. Like, Wikipedia is probably my number one search. Besides Facebook and stuff like that. Like, once I hear about somebody, I'm like, okay, where were they at in their early life? Where were they at around the time where I'm at currently now? I'm always continually benchmarking myself off of somebody, which is good in a way, and it's also negative in a way. But whenever we speak about Zuckerberg or somebody like that, I always feel like I never resonate with them. I resonate more with, like, Tim Ferriss, who started his first business when he was 24. And I'm like, even whenever I was going through school and stuff like that, I was like, I got until 24 until Tim's really started taking off. And now I'm 24 this year. And it's just like one of those benchmarks that I pay attention to, or Ryan Holiday is another example, or somebody that's just like.
Who's Ryan? When did Ryan Holiday start?
He got started probably like 19 or 18. He was pretty young. He's 31 now, I believe. Mm-hmm. But he's just somebody more realistic in their approach. And it's not like a phenomena. And it's amazing the work that him and Tim and Aubrey Marcus and Prince EA and some of these people are doing, even yourself, but it's like someone that's more that I can see myself in their shoes, that actually I can see myself and actually I want to model after, where someone like Mark Zuckerberg or where the genius kid that's cleaning up the oceans with a vacuum or whatever it is, sorry, I don't know if it's a rumor resident right now. Should definitely plug him. But I just don't resonate with it. It's like, right on, awesome for you, Elon Musk. But I just don't see myself in a position where I'm going to be making spaceships in the near future. Yeah.
Not into Elon Musk's kind of intensity and lifestyle, and just not into the way he is.
I just think he's a phenomena. I just think he's just like, just something else. I think it would be damaging to try to compare yourself to somebody like Elon Musk.
Sure, but what if you think you're something else? What if you want to be? What if your goal in life is to be a phenomenon?
That's not my goal.
I understand it's not your goal, but what if somebody who's listening to this is like, I want to be a fucking phenom too. I want to be able to kind of show up and like change the world and do all the things. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we sell in some ways. You know what I mean? Like, Superhero Academy talks about changing the world. I'm not trying to say we were talking about changing the world at the scale of Elon Musk all the time. You know, we're saying, hey, you could be mindful of like the plastic bottles you're using. You could be mindful. You could change the world in other ways. And we are talking about it in that context, more so for most people. But I mean, I definitely look at Elon sometimes and think, shit, why aren't I changing the fucking world?
Yeah, I mean, it's a high bar to set, and I don't think that he achieved it by even thinking in those terms. He started Yellow Pages online. He started went into the banking and the PayPal and stuff like that. It was a long journey, as opposed to think that. I don't think the mindset of wanting to achieve. I think that you have to change your mindset, and you kind of stumble into that. I don't think thinking that you want to be a phenomenon or you want to be known or you want to be respected to that level will get you there.
That's not how it happens.
No, yeah, you have to like stay consistent to your why. And Zuckerberg was just wanting to connect people and kind of code out and see an opportunity and continue to grow it. And it was just started off for one college campus. I'm sure he had dreams of bigger, but he was able to take it one step at a time.
What do you think continues to motivate somebody that's like, okay, you're a billionaire. Now you've done all this crazy shit and you wanted to connect everybody. You did it. You basically connected the fucking planet in some way, shape, or form. What do you think continues to motivate him to show up like a Zuckerberg type? I mean, Elon.
Yeah, they're kind of different.
They're different because Elon hasn't achieved the thing that he really wants to achieve, which is multiplanetary species. He was always obsessed with to some degree, a level of space. Whereas Zuckerberg, it's not clear to me what he's ever particularly wanted beyond what he has actually achieved.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he just on to the next thing. It's a never-ending journey. Like, you can always find something else to strive for, and it's just the type of person that's gotten to him to where he is at today. Just the mentality of trying to achieve more, to do more. And I also think that he is interested in like the political aspect, and he's interested in like...
But would you... Yes, he's interested in the political aspect at this point to some degree.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. You make $1 billion tomorrow. Are you still showing up to do many of the things that you're doing today? I know you wouldn't show them out the exact same way, but are you studying? Are you fully living your billionaire life essentially already?
I don't know. I would like to say that I would have less stress, but I think that I'd have way more stress as a billionaire. Maybe I'm living better than a billionaire right now.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
I do believe that the bigger the castle you
living better than a billionaire.
That's the headline.
You click on it, just you.
Yeah. Let's put that as a Reddit ad.
Yeah, I was just
thinking. Yeah. just like a meme or whatever, you know. No, I mean, I do believe that the more money that you have, put it this way. I'm not talking about $0 to $75,000 or $0 to $100,000 a year. In that scenario, the more money you have, the better your life is, for sure. If you're going from I make $20,000 a year to now I make $45,000 a year, there is hands down a better life involved. If you're living in the average city, suburbia, blah, 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 right? Like if you're out in the jungle of Punta Mona in Costa Rica, okay, different story, possibly, right? Because if you're out there, like far, far out there, that's what you want to be out there. You know what I mean? Like for the most part. But if you're living in a city, if you're making more money, under $100,000, it's helping you. But as you go from like $100,000 to $1 million, I would assume from my perspective that the law of diminishing returns starts playing out. And I'm experiencing it. Like my business has doubled every year for I don't even know how many years now. I think this year would probably be the fifth year that it doubles, which is amazing. But my stress is doubling, or it feels like it's doubling. But I don't have double the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, I've been able to automate elements of it, and I think that's the difference between going from like founder to CEO. It's like my job is to move from founder to CEO at this point.
Yeah.
I have to get into that position, and that's difficult.
Where you can't be the crazy visionary anymore. You still can be, or is that what you're saying? But you have to have more structure to your craziness. Is that what it means to go from founder to CEO?
If I had a full answer, maybe I would already be there. But I think the difference is from founder to CEO is that yes, you have to be, like your decisions now affect other people.
Yeah.
And the reason they affect other people is because the transition from founder to CEO is to bring on board other people. Who mm-hmm. now have stake in the company. Investors are coming in. Like, there's expectations that are now limited. See, when you're a founder, the only expectations you're trying to live up to are your own.
Yeah.
And that's so exciting, right? Like, I still am trying to live up to my own expectations. And they just keep getting kicked down the road somehow. Like, the more I go, I'm like, oh, well, now I need to be a perfect podcaster day one. And I get, like, angry about it.
You yeah, know what I mean? Like, good job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, reality is this is attempt. This is like my fourth go around at this yeah. in a sense. I started, kind of had a little bit of momentum, stopped, started again, had a little bit of momentum, stopped. Second time I started was I stopped a little bit, but then it kind of picked back up again. So I two and three were closer together. And then I left it for mm-hmm. a while. And now this is like time number four. How do you, you know, what is, how do you rationalize? I find it fascinating. I'm so intrigued sometimes about what it's like to be in your position looking at me and then being like, what the fuck is it? Like, what's this fucking crazy guy every once in a while? You know what I mean? Like, you must think I'm fucking insane sometimes. And then in other scenarios, you must think I'm brilliant. And in other scenarios, you must think I'm a fucking fool. And I'm legitimately interested in knowing when you think I'm crazy, brilliant, and a fool. I would love to know those three answers, actually.
Hmm.
When do I get like the most manic?
Crazy, brilliant, and a fool.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day. I was actually thinking about that. I was thinking about when does a visionary, what's the fine line of a visionary being a absolute leader quack. Or a crazy person? Because they're both the same thing. Totally. It's just which one's validated by society or which one's lifted up or which one's
recognized.
Been able to turn that vision into something that's more solid in structure. So those two are kind of teeter and totter. I think that the brilliance, I'm so close to it. So it's kind of interesting whenever I see like the response of the mastermind people and like people who are doing crazy shit in their own rights. And then I just see like the level of respect they have for the mastermind or some of the things that are being pieced together. But that's kind of like the validation where I'm like, oh shit. Like, okay, this is like somebody this is like a whole bunch of people that I highly respect and are badasses in their own right, and they're kind of giving their two cents of it, and they're showing up to this thing, and I'm like, oh, okay, we must be really be onto something. So there's that part.
So your validation comes through a lot of the validation of this comes through the fact that people who are completely outside of the equation but are respected or kind of respectable in their own right have achieved a certain level of mastery in their own world have now come in and said, okay, you're not crazy.
That's part of it, but also even like the students in a sense of like Super Academy where I just hear somebody talk about and they're like geeking out. They're like, I walk into a room and it's like one of my roommates or something like that is like watching a class. And I'm like, oh shit, like people are really digging this. Like people come to me and they'll ask me suggestions and stuff like that. And I just always see myself as somebody that's like always on the same tier as everybody else. And then when people, it's like just weird for people to reach out to me and like, what's your opinion or what do you think of this system or how can I get this feedback? And I've stepped into it more and more. But that's another place where I'm like, okay, we're really onto something. What were the other two? It was brilliant, crazy, and
a fool.
And a fool.
Where am I most foolish?
Probably not maybe seeing being too opportunistic in anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, okay, this could be very clear and we could be far along in one stream of it. We could be a lot stronger in this one area. It's like a jack of all trades. You're trying to like build this masterpiece where you need the engineer, you need a doctor, you need like a whole community essentially. And you can't just do that off of one stream. There's like a brilliance in it. And I don't know. I don't know if it's craziness or if it's just short-sighted on my part sometimes of it, but it's just like a big risk either way.
Yeah. What you're basically saying is, I'm playing the long game often. And then when I'm playing the long game, sometimes you're like, shit, is he just being is this fucking stupid? Like, or should we not just double down on this one thing versus trying to build multiple things? And then what you're kind of saying from my perspective is like, well, the jury's still out. The jury's still out on all of that because it does seem to have correlation. And I mean, I think it does have correlation. I think that's my brilliance and the reason I'm a fucking fool is because I'm so, like you said, opportunistic.
Yeah, it's like travel Instagrams or whatever. We just see something and want to test it out and like to geek out and like to try things and stuff like that. And like you act as a strategist a lot of the times. And then we need to execute and pick the strategy fully.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like I've gotten better at picking the strategy as of late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it always gets done. It's just like how hectic it is and how crazy and how stressful.
But it doesn't always get done. Many things get done.
Yeah, specifically like the mastermind or something like that. It's like everything works.
Yes.
Out.
No. If there's a bunch of people who are dependent on me, it gets done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I will never allow myself to fail other people.
Yeah.
But I think that's my challenge is that I will allow myself to fail myself.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You know what I mean? I will allow other people to dictate elements of what I should be doing sometimes. Not that much because I push back on it very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I very quickly know when I'm being fucking the right hand. You know what I mean? And I'm like, wait a second here. Wait a second. I don't want to be doing all the things for other people and other people's dreams all the time. I want to kind of get back to certain elements. And I think it's just like, I think I bit off a fucking way more than I could chew. And had I known that day one, I don't think I would have bit off this much.
Yeah.
But that's part of the brilliance of the thing. You know what I mean? It's like Elon Musk must have done the same thing with cars. He's like, oh, we can make electric cars. And it's like, now when you're like, okay, I'm trying to ramp it up to 5,000 cars a week, you know, now all of a sudden it's a slightly different game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The challenge of expansion. The challenge, like, so I think it's an interesting challenge he has personally. But yeah, I mean, and then it comes down to like focusing too much on other people and like trying to always be the source of so many people instead of like just building your own stuff and just going heavy on like maybe one or two clients and then building your own brand out more and more and make sure that you're actually putting it out on Reddit, putting it out on these places, building your own brand, which is both beneficial to you and then has the potential to make your voice more heard globally. But then there's it's just hard to say which one is the best path.
Isn't it to some degree, like part of it would the thing you have to, I think about is like, how many hours am I spending helping and building, collaborating? And how many hours am I spending like building? You know what I mean? Like building my own systems, my own things. And I try and balance those two things. I feel like I'm spending 4 days out of the week collaborating and about 2 days of the week building my own shit. I feel like I'm like doing a two-thirds, one-third scenario. And that's what drives me a little crazy.
Yeah, and
recently.
One of those days is kind of working on the farm, which is like a chill day as well. And it's not like build.
Yeah, I'm building, but I'm, you know, but it's such a long-term play that I can't consider it. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you said, oh, I can imagine when I'm 34 or something, I'm going to be like sitting down. I'm going to be in a similar position to like somebody like a Ryan Holiday. Well, Ryan Holiday is fucking taking care of cattle. Like part of his day is running, swimming, taking care of cattle. If his Instagram tells me anything about it, his life.
For sure.
But so.
I don't want to be just sitting.
No.
I want to be creating for my own voice.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You want to be creating for your own voice. But what I find interesting, like, so.
I don't want to be putting more energy into the cattle or the running.
The
or
real
the
world
balance
things.
Or the relationships or a baby. Like he has.
Yeah.
You know, I think he just has balance is the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he went through the career of being the marketer as we are, as I definitely have. Mm-hmm. And you are going through the fast track of that in a powerful way for sure. And now as you kind of go into that world further and further and further, you what's so funny about it is that you just want to get away from that world more and more and more as much as, like, you know what I mean? Like, as you learn something, you're just like, you get bastardized by it, and you're like, oh, I just want to get away from it.
Yeah. Or use it in a different way, or use it on my own shit, or use it.
Yeah.
Or just approach it with less... frantic, hectic behavior. Yeah.
I always feel like I'm rewriting contract. Like, I feel like I'm constantly redoing things, though. Don't you feel like you're sometimes just, like, rehashing the same fucking thing?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Like, I don't know how to say that. Like, if I had to, like, create, like, a videographer contract, I feel like I'm creating videographer contracts every fucking day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're supposed to film a video here, right? About, like, Superhero Academy. Tell the story of Superhero Academy. Make a new homepage video. It's like, I feel like I've done this 17,000 times.
Yeah.
I feel like I've hired the same people to edit the same video almost multiple times over. But it was never good enough. It was never, like, it never hit. That's why. And it's crazy for me to say, because it does hit every day. It's actually hitting people all the fucking time, and I'm so blind to it because they're just a number on my screen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the thing. Sorry. It's losing, the numbers of it, and that's why it's important to go deeper.
Well, that's why it's important. That's why it's so valuable to go into the real world of these different elements.
Get out and do things and... go to the gym or go to this place or walk around the city like we're going to do tonight and check out Montreal. Like, I mean, like, we're in a cool cave, but we're in a cave right now.
For sure.
So, like, even, like, whenever I come up here, I'm like, I want to go work upstairs and get sunlight on me.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. I mean, there's a disconnect for sure that we can be in our own worlds, and we're so connected online, but we're so disconnected. And, like, I have to go, like, walk around a city, or I have to go, like, and, like, have conversations, like, in awkward... I got to get in awkward situations.
Yeah. You're way better about that than I am.
Yeah, like, I have to go sit in a coffee shop, or I have to, like, go act like I'm going to say hello to a girl and never do it. I have to go and, like... I have to, like, go and, like walk up to a door and somebody opens it up when I'm, like, too many steps away, and I have to get a little jog to it.
You, like, always notice that. You pay attention to the smallest little things like that. You know what I mean? Like, and you point it out every time. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's part of my humor, that's part of the way I see life. I guess I have the Larry David career enthusiasm kind of, like,
I think you do have, like,
But it also makes me enjoy the little things like that, though. Like,
yes.
I'm, like, hyper aware of that.
You have a better joie de vivre than I do, for sure. At this stage, I think I it's funny because I used to be so much more fun than I currently am. Mm. I used to be so much more like, dude, Montreal's a bar city. Like, you don't think I've gone to every fucking bar. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've been out there many times, and right now I don't think I've ever been more in my cave.
Yeah,
for sure. I am so deep into my own world.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't even have a car anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, forget any, like, I don't go anywhere ever. You know what I mean? Like,
can't do that.
Yeah. And
I got to sit in a coffee shop or do something. And I'm way more productive that way. I can't. You're better at staying focused at in seclusion.
Yes.
I get way more ahead. It's not like I do anything. I just like lay around or
yeah,
just sit there.
I will. Like yesterday, I could see, like I could feel you, like okay, I'm like bored. We've been in this environment, I'm bored a little bit, and I'm just like fucking, let me write impossibilist emails. You know what I mean? Like I will keep it going. The challenge is like for what point?
Yeah.
To what end?
Yeah, I guess you can pull from you pull from an inspiration, I guess, like even in like a boring situation to me, like I have to like mix things up and I have to get inspired in other ways. Otherwise I get bored and just want to watch something else or try to get inspired from a YouTube video. Like I did last night, I was just studying other people's content and just like sharing, saving a whole bunch of it to a doc where I can kind of like model some stuff after it. I wanted to write some scripts, but I was just too bored and too chilling.
Too chill. How fast do you think I will get bored of something like this? This exact setup. Do you think I'll get bored of this exact setup? You knowing me.
Is the thought of not enough? Is that a thought of boredom? Like non-content or not enough, or there's got to be a new
non-content. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a fair one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how fast will it become not enough? I mean, fucking minute number one, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something you can do better. There's some reason why it's not
perfect.
Doubling down. Yeah. I mean, that's like even, yeah, maybe we should rewatch Super Academy classes and commit to something for 60 days without any change of like, all right, I've got it. Now I'm just going to post something on YouTube every single day.
It's funny because I was looking at the Super Academy classes, like the actual titles of the classes, specifically the mastery level, and just thinking, oh, these all need to be redone. Like in a weird way, you know what I mean? Like I just keep adding more. I don't know what the fuck. Like I can't. It's because I don't see, I keep losing sight of the value.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm obsessed with fucking doing more. I'm actually, I hate it. I'm actually tired of it. I don't want to do more anymore. I actually want to
do more of what?
Almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scary part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever been closer, and not that I'm close, but I don't think I've ever been closer to wanting to end my life. You know what I mean? And I'm not close. Like I'm not saying that's not like I'm not. What I mean by that is like I feel like I've just done so. Like I'm so tired of like I'm like, oh, is there something else in the world? You know what I mean? Like I'm kind of at that state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the state where like I would fuck off and go to China for a month. And then come back and be like, all right, I'm changing everything. But in an efficient way, I wouldn't be a fucking idiot. Like, you know what I mean? I wouldn't end everything. But I feel like I could benefit from like another layer of the hero's journey at this point is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. What do you think is stopping you from taking a month to go to China? What's the worst that would happen?
To me, nothing. I'll be fine.
Who do you think you would ruin the most?
Most of the contractors who work beneath.
You think that you would take their livelihood, or do you think that you would ruin the connection that you can pick it up later?
No, I wouldn't ruin the connection. No, I don't think it would ruin the connection. If I go for a month, I don't think it would ruin the connection.
It's strictly dollars and cents.
I think that they would be in precarious positions.
Yeah, and you don't think that they'd figure it out?
I mean, they'll figure it out. They'll be okay. Like, I don't think they're going to die.
Yeah.
But they'll be set back. You know what I mean? So, for example, if I'm keeping a videographer working really powerfully, and they're really, really working powerfully, they don't need to go and get this another job. They don't need to go get something else, and then they can continuously invest in the gear. They can continuously invest in themselves. They can continuously like be in this position of getting better and better and better and better. And you're seeing it with Sajid. Look at Sajid. Like this, for those who don't know, we're talking about one of our editors in Sri Lanka. He now launched his brand where he's going to edit his own videos, not of himself, but of things that inspire him and make motivational videos, basically. There's no fucking way that if we're not hiring him like consistently and like really pushing the envelope of how fast he's editing, that he would have been at the point that he is today without us.
Yeah, I mean, I think he quit his job.
He was making $400 a month, and we easily pay him that.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's got other stuff coming in too now, hopefully.
Well, sure. Yeah. But even if he doesn't, you know what I mean?
Saying, yeah, he's doing well for himself. He's
doing great, for
editing,
sure.
His editing is getting better too.
That's the whole point. The speed at which he's progressing, the money that he depends on us for now after he quits his job, which is a big move. You know what I mean? Like, to me, you know, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have a hit for sure. Not in 1 month, right? Month number one, you'd be fine. But if I left, Danny would erode. Mm-hmm. Elements would erode. Because the fabric of why our marketing agency is worth something is on the relationships that we have. And right now, the way that it's structured is that it's built on three people maintaining three different sets of relationships. So you lose one group of that people, you will lose a heavy chunk of those relationships. And that's a giant chunk of the production at the moment. Mm-hmm. Now, are there other people? Yes, but CT and you and me already can't keep up with our own stuff. You know what I mean? So lose one of the strategists early on in the game and you're in a big pickle. The same is true because Valhalla is such a long-term play. This is year six of Valhalla, but it's only year three of farming, really, like proper farming. If I leave now, it really could erode quite quickly. Now, what I find is good is that Stefan and some of the people at Valhalla have like really taken it.
Yeah.
And if they removed me out of the equation a bunch, and I'm still there, I'm still like the home run. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm still aiming for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And I think in my entire life, I've always been obsessed with that. And they say the pot of gold, not as in like money or whatever. It's like, I feel like I'm always chasing the rainbow. You know what I mean? I'm always chasing the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And it's not a money thing. I don't know what it is fully.
I feel a role to push things to the next level as opposed to sustain or to like gradually increase. You just want to do.
I just want to leap. Yeah. Yes. I enjoy like quantum, like a quantum leap of some kind.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, this is a quantum leap.
Yeah, this is huge. Yeah, and like goes back to like getting bored or unmotivated or whatever it may be. Would it be more powerful as opposed to try to fix the copy on the website to just do a show like this and then put it out there? Yeah, or to have a conversation or to do a Facebook Live in the group and
literally have no offer, period.
Yeah.
And just make content, basically, is what you're trying to say, to some degree.
Yeah, yeah. Is that, are you really managing your time in the best way?
No. Do you think I'm managing my time in the best way?
There's definitely room for improvement.
I mean, I would say, I realistically, I would say that every day, all the time, forever. So how much room for, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the easy answer.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah.
I wish I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I tell you this, and I'm so happy I like really was able to champion that at the first mentorship, like at the mentorship you were at, which was, I'm inventing it as much as you. I'm so happy I was able to communicate that because I don't think I had ever knew that fully. You know what I mean? Like I didn't full, like I knew it inside of me, but I never been able to, it sounds so simple, but I never been able to communicate it to others and have them understand what that means and how that they can should empower them. Mm-hmm. Because some people will take that and be like, well, wait a second, I'm following you, but you're fucking inventing this. And they would run. Right? Some people would take that and absolutely run, but others would not. What's up? Oh, hey.
Come check out the studio.
Come check out the studio.
Look at this man cave that's set up. Oh, my goodness.
That's hilarious. We're legit podcasting right now. Yeah. Show more of the angle. Like, show more of this.
Okay. It's so ridiculous in here. Look at
Yeah. It's gotten a little crazy over here. So we went all out.
So went all out.
How's it going, guys?
It's good.
Yeah.
I just got some food poisoning.
Ooh. That was
fun.
Ooh. That's never fun on the travels, but it is to be expected.
You're
aiming down better.
Diet that I wouldn't get it, but apparently spinach kills.
Spinach does kill.
Spinach is what got you. God damn. That's what happens. You gotta
vegetarian.
You gotta eat more pork. I'm saying this to four people who are all vegetarian, so in fairness, you know, I get it. It happens. Pretty good. Still have to cut the grass.
3 months later.
Yeah. It was slightly later this time around, yeah. Well, it's just because I got back and it was longer, but it was like really, it needed watering and I was worried to cut it when, like, you know, it's in such a fragile state. I just hate grass.
There's no point to grass.
I just hate, I don't, grass? I don't get it.
Well,
yeah.
No,
I mean, we're chilling. You can always join. We would have to set up. We have to move things around a little bit for you to join, but we could do it.
Join the conversation.
I interrupted everybody's work. You guys were all busy.
I'll come back later.
I'm on a call. You guys can call.
Okay, say goodbye to your brother.
Bye-bye.
See y'all.
Bye. I'll come back later. I got work to do. And I can't spend my day chilling.
Mm-hmm. We're not chilling. We're making content. Making content. It's part of our job right now.
Talking content.
Why is it that people don't know that the content game is our game? Like, this is our work.
Yeah.
This is the dream. We're living it. You know what I mean? Like, weird way, I set out to do exactly this. Now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that's saying, shit, what's next?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm so impressed with somebody like Sam as well, who she's so consistent with her Facebook lives and keeping up with her own Instagram and doing her own thing and I speak with her and she's like, I could be doing more. I'm going to get these systems set up. And like from an outside perspective, I'm like, nah, like you're doing awesome. You're creating an awesome community. You're engaged. You're taking the time to do that, which I think that you personally should do more of.
To engage with my own community.
Yeah. Like sometimes I wonder if you even consider your own community, your community, and not like, not the Super Academy community, but like, the new likes that we're getting on some of these pages. Like, I wonder how attached you feel to them because it's your voice, but at the end of the day, I'm posting it out. I know you're keeping an eye on it, so you might.
Oh, I listen. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
I am paying attention. Like, I'm not, you're posting it, but I am holding it down nonetheless.
Yeah, I know.
Do I believe that my energy needs to be involved in it? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do. I just don't. I haven't. I feel like what I'm doing is that, like, I'm like, okay, you got the stage. Okay, cool. And then I'm like, I feel like I'm rebuilding the stage. Like, okay, imagine business is like a play, and the world of the internet is paying attention to this play, and the play has different chapters or different acts of the play. Right now, I'm between acts. I'm not on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You're maintaining the audience while I'm behind the scenes building the next act. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it feels. So what I'm wondering is when I get out of the next act, like when does the next act begin?
Yeah, that was gonna be my next question.
You know, I keep saying that, like I always say, when this, when that, my next act begins when that thing, right? My thought on the next act. My thought on the next act is when I can leave things in the place that they are and not move them, but have them be ready to create at all times. If I look at where Casey Neistat was when he first started his vlog, he already had all of this. Do you get what I mean? Not all the podcast gear in this way. He had the studio and the gear and the overhead shot. He had already established his, yeah, his gig. And we look at Peter McKinnon and we say, well, he came out of nowhere, but he didn't.
No, he has his own office. He has his own.
He had but he already had his office. He has set up. He was a videographer for many years.
Yeah.
He was just doing it for other people. So you can imagine that the wedding edits that he has are fucking phenomenal, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, what he's doing on YouTube today, he was doing for other clients last year or right before he started YouTube. You get what I mean?
For sure.
So what I feel is that I haven't fully established my vibe and that I'm just discovering certain elements of it. And my challenge is, my honest challenge is, I have a hard time actually connecting with the level of intellect that is the platforms that I am actually building the stage for.
Mm-hmm.
That's my challenge. My challenge is that what I enjoy, I'm not necessarily creating. I enjoy comedy, but I don't create comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the next act for me is to move away from just creating for the sake of learning and learning how to create that thing.
Creating for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so the idea of this is, this has more comedy involved. Like, this will allow me to build character,
yeah,
in new storylines and new things, and it gets me off script.
Yeah, yeah. You're kind of doing a learning curve, or you're, I don't know, what's the word where you're like kind of like hyper getting into your voice.
Yeah, like so like, for example, we have to film two videos about Superhero Academy today. And I know I could bang those out in a fucking second. You know that I can set that up and just just nail it. Mm-hmm. And there's not a hesitation in my word. Where there is hesitation is like, oh, how do I do this thing? What cable is this? And that, now I learned about 3 pins and 4 pin cables. I knew fucking jack shit about. So yeah, it's just exciting. And it's
totally for yourself too, where even like the Super Academy stuff is like
for other people.
As opposed to like you just being by yourself, opening up YouTube, tinkering around with pushing up your glasses and just being like, what am I going to make my title? And maybe you don't feel like, I don't know, maybe that's not enough for you. Maybe you feel like your time is best spent somewhere else, but you can't just like have that quiet time where it's like, how can I just tinker on my own shit? For yourself.
It's because I'm trying to bring everyone with me.
Yeah.
I'm literally getting, so, you know, why the impossible list is so relevant to me. I talk about like, oh, I went to China, was on the Great Wall, and I just discovered my freedom, basically, right? So I'm going around and I started discovering my freedom on that trip, and I was free and I know how to be free. But now but in that moment, I decided I was going to come and save my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And now my friends has just expanded ever in this ever growing way. Yeah. Where I feel like I have this thing that I need to inspire. And then I became like, so what I started to realize is like, I started this with the premise that Brad Pitt can move mountains, but he doesn't. Why? And I didn't get it.
Expand.
I didn't get it. Here's what I'll say. He could move mountains, but not really. That's a false premise. See, Brad Pitt, I believe that the more fame you can get, the more good you can create and do. But what I think and what I learned now is that the more fame you have, the more pigeonholed you become. And the more you cannot do in some ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It actually is a blinder of restriction for the most part. Now, some people take it graciously. Joe Rogan is one of them. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I really respect comedians, because some of them do get pigeonholed for sure.
They keep light of it?
Yes.
They don't take themselves too seriously?
They don't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
They keep massive light of it. And they understand that the story changes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, they have to be okay with that.
See, that's what I love about comedy. It's like, you're filming your special, you can't say the joke.
Yeah.
You might bust it out at the right time. Like, if somebody's like, I don't know, somebody blurts something out in the crowd, you might bring back the joke that you said in your special just because whatever. But for the most part, you almost don't go back there.
Yeah.
And that's what I find that fascinating
mm-hmm.
as an art. You know what I mean?
It's like because it's like a Buddhist approach to it, building something and then just like building the sand, and then he just wash it over and he start doing the sand all over again.
All over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
keeps your ego in check, I guess, a little bit as well.
That's the pilgrimage that I make.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So now part of building Superhero Academy to a certain level, honestly, legitimately, is to impress you. I'm really excited. I'm really, truly excited to know that the biggest way that I can help you is that I can show you how if we just line all the things up, we can do it.
That's funny.
It's fucking funny.
Yeah.
But it really is to show you.
Yeah.
Because I showed Phil Powis and Ryan Schwartz in their own worlds, right? I showed them it. And I'm like, no, stick to this. And I just, every week was like, just recalibrating the whole thing. But nobody has, I've never met a coach who's truly able to hone me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time having other people keep true north. And you're the only person who I believe has a chance at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's weird, but part of my own, like, I will save myself through the fact that I will show you certain things and then you're going to yeah. know what actually works and then you're going to teach me it back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I was the teacher, but now I feel like we're evening out. You know what I mean? Like you've caught up massively. I don't like, I know you don't always feel that way sometimes. You know what I mean? But now that you're caught up, in my mind, you caught up. And in fact, you're ahead. When you put out your like lavender post, I'm like, oh yes, he's getting it. Like he fully understands where we have to go and all those different things. And I like your response of like the swing. I told you swinged and missed on promoting lavender. And you're like, I wasn't trying to sell anything. And I know you aren't.
I know I am.
I'm just not selling. And that was what I was about to say. Yeah. I was about to say you were just selling something different.
I'm selling myself. I'm not selling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm selling me as an individual.
Totally. And
that's the most powerful.
It's the most powerful thing you can do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm
also like doing the thing where your goal is to make enough money where you can like, okay, now I have enough money. I can cover Super Academy. I can keep on going. And I'm trying to like implement that where it's like, no, I mean, I'll be all right. I wish I could make a little bit of more money when I'm like, and I don't, I'd always think like that, but it's like, I don't have to sell it right now. There's no necessity to it. And it's better in my best interest to just practice that, to geek out on that.
Yes. Because you can stay you can stay in the sandbox where it's much safer right now and test.
Yeah.
And you even called it that. I'm just testing things out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in the sandbox anymore.
Yeah.
That's the difference between your position and my position is if I fuck up, it has a real consequence for you. And it is a real consequence for a lot of people. Now, here's the truth. You now, because I'm dependent on you, and you're dependent on me, but I'm dependent on you equally. If you fuck up, I'm fucking done too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's even like in the sense of like some of the memes and meme farms we're trying to get into where I'm like more hesitant on the quality of what it would be and like,
yes.
Would I go and find some and like I test the different types of memes, the vial of like, okay, we have some like Casey Neistat quotes, so we have some Mark quotes, we have 10 of each or 8 of each different type of meme made, one with the person, one with the more vague, beautiful graphic, and then one is just completely plain.
Yes.
Of that.
And you know what makes me the guru? What makes me sustainable, right? And I'm not a fucking guru. But what I mean by like what makes me the strategist is what I'm trying to say. What makes me be the strategist is that I just have the experience and I monetized that. Mm-hmm. I monetized, like in anything, okay? When you become like a really fucking good yogi, it's because you have hyper presence when doing yoga. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to keep my breathing and I'm going to make sure that I keep breathing. And then I have done this pose so many times that I can get deeper and deeper and deeper into the stretch while maintaining focus on my breathing. That's what it is to be a like a master yogi, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, to be a master marketer is the exact same fucking thing in a different way. It's like, I am doing all these other things that we're trying. They're just tests. They're me playing and learning. Like when we buy the Instagram accounts and we were like, oh, is this worth something? How much is it worth? What is the value of a following that is vague and just random?
Yeah.
You know,
now
what
we
mean?
Know that's so true. And it seems like a simple answer, but until you've lived it and walked it and.
But
it's
you can't.
Very obvious now.
Well, sure.
Because we've went through it.
But I couldn't have answered it fully.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would have been a little bit more valuable, actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You would have guessed it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I would have thought that it would have been a little bit more valuable than it is. And what I learned is not for me. And what I learned is now I could teach to the next person who's next in line saying, should I buy an Instagram account?
Yeah. I mean, you're a brilliant strategist for sure. When it comes into it, like totally present in the moment when it comes to dissecting somebody else's stuff. Like when you are on the call with somebody, it's full presence with it. So definitely respect on that front.
It's the LeBron on the court.
It comes down to geeking out on your own stuff and kind of like implementing your own ways and kind of geeking out and doing the creatives as opposed to showing what is known to you, but also testing something way far out in a sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the game that I'm constantly playing. Like, why was it like you mentioned Twitch like a couple of times and I read it and some of the things. I was like, man, I signed up for Twitch like 4 months, 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's why I'm the strategist. Like, that's the only reason, the only separation between where you are now is that you're in it and you're, and I keep telling you, how are you going to not be in it? How are you going to continuously put the thing in the place? That's why the last Trello board that we made was a distribution board, for example, and it's still the least active.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get it to the point of activity, that is your version of catching up to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you can see that and fully understand that if you can implement that thing, step out of it, and then say, all the content is going out, you will have effectively completely transitioned to being now a strategist, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I do want to be a strategist in a sense, but I also kind of always want to be in it. Like,
yes.
I want to create with it and I want to like continue to geek out and do my own thing.
I get that.
Yeah.
But once you've done that.
I understand that. Yeah, for sure.
But what I'm saying is once you've done that, now you can be in the position of doing it for you again.
Yeah. Which is the goal.
Which is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was the goal for me too.
Using the systems to like, yes. What we're doing with WizCareer and everything like that is you're trying to build the product that you would use or build the product that you can.
I'm trying to build the team that I actually want to fucking hire.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm trying to fucking build. I don't care about running a marketing agency. What I care is about what a marketing agency does, and I don't know of a marketing agency that does it as effectively as I've been able to do it in mm-hmm. certain ways. Now, certain people are crushing it. I know creators that are able to do it, which is amazing. But then they start scaling. Look at all the fucking creators right now. They're all getting editors and all these different things. But I know that that's a tougher road than they think it is.
In terms of growing team?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been down that road. I'm world-class at growing team and community.
Yeah.
I suck at being like a full-on creator all the time, but I am fucking world-class at growing team and community.
So you see even like Nas Daily with Project Nightfall, you see that he's already kind of like, he hit over 6 million on a video and probably soon enough he'll be trying to get his own guy to do his own stuff.
Exactly.
And then Nas is going to find somebody else again because you're trying to hire the unhirable to go to be secondhand whenever you're making the trail.
In fairness, I don't see Nas anymore.
Yeah, I do. But yeah.
Do you get what I'm trying to say, though?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is he's not popping up on my news. I don't follow him as intently as you do.
Yeah, I do a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but you're a little, like, put it this way, on a scale of 1 to 10.
I'm following him as a creative more than
yes.
you
Yes, yes. So on a scale of 1 to 10, you are further down that mm-hmm. follow rabbit hole, so which means that his reach is going to his core audience, obviously, his 1,000 true fans, all that stuff, right? But his reach is getting caught up somewhere in the chain where it wasn't before. I was seeing him all the fucking time before. But mm-hmm. now I see his girlfriend and I see this other guy, Project Nightfall. Now I've seen his Project Nightfall guy twice.
Yeah.
And guess what? His Project Nightfall guy is going to rise and then he's going to do the same, like you just said, the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Right?
They're both going to need two editors now. Yeah, they're... Because he's currently editing for Nas, so he's... Soon enough, he's...
Soon enough, he won't.
He wants to make his own shit.
Exactly. And that's the... That is the fear that I have when I build a marketing agency, is that soon enough they want to do their... Like, how far are you going to want to continue walking this path with me before you're just like, you know what, I just want to build my own shit. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that you're wise enough to see and look at Ryan, me, Phil Powis, all these other people, and realize all we want to do is to work together.
Yeah, crew,
I hope that you
crew
see,
mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I hope you see that once you go on your own, the only other thing that you're going to want to do is come right back. Eventually. Not right away, but eventually. And that is the... It was the fucking so... weird. It's such a weird thing to think about, but it is exactly the reality of where things are at.
What step is that in the hero's journey? You've done the presentation a couple times, all 16 steps.
I mean, so here's what I'll say about, yeah, I have fucking shit, and somehow I have to do it again because I still haven't nailed it in terms of, I've nailed it in terms of delivery maybe twice, but I haven't nailed it in terms of filming it for whatever reason, because I can't film. It's the whole, you can't need, be on stage and off stage at the same fucking time.
Yeah. You just need to bang it out.
Yeah. Yeah. But so
crewing up. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely see the value in that. Definitely have implemented that for sure. And I could see how some people wouldn't see that and want to go create their own thing for sure.
They get caught.
Especially if they're just working with somebody who's building eBay shops or something. It's a little bit different, the work that we're doing in the creative field and like the passion behind it.
Yes.
As opposed to like a mentee at a law firm.
Yes. There's actually what luckily is in our world, crewing up actually does have more value than in almost any other world.
Yeah. Or it's just more obvious.
It's more obviously, yeah, because there's a direct way. There's a very low barrier to entry as to how I help you or you help me. It's just share. Yeah. That one button literally changes everything. Whereas if I run an Amazon business, it's like kind of hard. Like, how are you supposed to realistically help me with my Amazon business if you're another dude with an Amazon business? Beyond giving me tips and tricks on how I can better do my business and being a consultant, that's one thing. But to share my shit, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, there's only...
And it's more exponential, where a law firm is like, how many clients can you take on?
Exactly.
And in a town of 50,000 people.
And the same is true of a marketing agency.
Yeah.
A marketing agency just grows. Look at Gary Vee. Mm-hmm. When last year they were at 450 employees. Now they're at 900. Do you think they're better at marketing?
No. It doesn't look exciting at all. Look at like VaynerMedia's page or VaynerSports. I'm sure it's awesome, but like, it doesn't excite me to be like on a red carpet with your potential
and to be that
with your
person.
Potential like NFL player to like kind of like, I don't know, it doesn't excite me to wine and dine somebody else, or it doesn't excite me to the company culture of like going at 9 to 5 or being somewhere like that.
Yeah, but what? Okay, but I get so you wouldn't work for Vayner. That's what you're saying. I get that. You wouldn't take a high up position at Vayner, would you?
No, I'd let him contract to me or something. I'd talk with him. I'd hang out with him. Mm. I'm sure they're cool.
What would you do more of Gary Vee's job?
I'd probably do more D-Rock's job or Babin.
Mm.
I don't want to manage a whole bunch of people. I don't want to have a whole bunch of people depending on me.
It's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, I'd rather. It's kind of like the charity example of the philanthropy, where it's like people complain they don't get paid enough, and even you were the one that told me this, and it makes a lot of sense why they should get paid $1 million as a CEO, because. Would you rather make $100,000 and have all these people depending on you to run this successful thing? Or would you rather make $20 million doing the same thing and you can just give back by giving your money to
million
it?
Dollars back.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly why CEOs and marketing agents, nonprofits have to be run like for-profit companies. They have to.
Yeah. Most things do.
Yeah. Weirdly.
Except for a government or I don't know, maybe except for, I don't know, because then you get in the conversation between capitalism and socialism on a political standpoint.
Where are you on that standpoint? I'm fucking Canadian, so obviously most people would assume I'm more of a socialist, but I'm not sure. Where would you, you know, should a government be running for profit? I mean, fuck.
I don't think so. I think it should be the the thing that keeps the integrity, the thing that is like
make sure
cool,
you're not polluting,
the cool or not cool, like the cool kid in school that doesn't give a fuck, the Fonzie, so the one that just shows up and is just like, it should be so funny that I'm comparing it to that, but. Like there's some stuff, like I think the United States government is set up to run perfectly, except for we just like don't tax $1 billion companies and they're like offshore accounts. And
cause you're just letting, it's not like, and like shit go through.
Yeah. And like all that stuff could be better managed in terms of like, we could still have the social welfare. Fuck if I know, I don't know, but I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
Here's what I'll say. It's funny that you said the Fonzie. I would say that it has to be like a completely older kid. It has to be the bigger brother. It's like, imagine, and that's like the scare, right? Oh, big brother's looking over you. But it has to
be the elder.
Well, it should be the elder who's saying, nah, that's just child's play. So it's not the bully. It's not the cool kid. It's not any of the kids.
The wise man.
It's the wise man in the corner. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the, like a fucking Animal Farm. It's like the donkey or something. Is it the donkey? Anyway, there's a workhorse and then there's a donkey who's like skeptical of the whole thing. Anyway, the donkey is, it's a donkey. Yeah,
the one that's going to be skeptical and keep balance.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, but I think the real problem is that none of them work from my perspective because they're all monetarisms. They're all set up as a system that rewards further competition. See, the government does run like a for-profit business because what it needs to keep doing is growing to be competitive with the next power, right? So it's like America, the fact that Russia is strong makes America stronger, makes America have to be stronger in its mind. And therefore it goes and bolsters and bolsters and bolsters. But because that happens, then America does, or Russia does the same thing, and then it bolsters, and then you have these arms races, or you have power races. But that endlessly happens. And it's because we have this motivation that we need more money, and there's this endless pool of it, and that somehow our metric of value is that money, that is where it gets a little fucking screwy. And I'm not an economist. I don't fucking know everything about this shit.
Do you also think it's part of the integrity of the people in office as opposed to
the way
that it is now that you're...
No, here's what I'll go back to. So, okay, so remember I was saying the... what I was saying was about like Brad Pitt can move mountains, right? I think that is a false premise. And I don't think I realized that until recently. I used to think that as a celebrity, you can move mountains and you can do more. And I think you can do less. I believe that Donald Trump is actually pigeonholed to do less than you think he can do. You know what I mean? Because he has to do the thing that makes certain people happy because his whole power dynamic is built on a house of cards because the entire economy is a house of cards.
Yeah.
The fundamental premise of an economy is that it must keep growing and moving or else it collapses.
Yeah.
That's the fundamental economic.
Well, not even the integrity of how he runs the country, but the integrity... Not even he, but the integrity of how one of the leaders holds themselves.
The way, so you're saying you're
too. It's not even like how they run it, but how like they're respected or how they approach their own life, I think will kind of bleed through in a sense.
I believe you have to, well, to some degree, like I guess there's two ways to the top. You're gracious or you're cutthroat. And Donald Trump took the cutthroat route.
Yeah,
Donald Trump took the I'm going to get there by force route. And maybe Obama, not to say that he's better or worse, but I think he took the gracious kind of the people's route in a weird way. Although I say that, but they both won elections. Donald Trump represents certain people. The difference is half the people believe. I find it fucking fascinating that every election we have is down to like the last fucking 1-2%. Isn't that fucking crazy that half the people in America or in any country, forget America, most countries will vote one half this way, one half that way. Mm. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's kind of like, what's an example?
I mean, like, in Quebec, we had a yes-no vote. 51% of people said no, we want to stay with Canada, and 49% said yes. And it was 49.8 and 50.2. Like, you get what I mean?
Just like, enough, yeah.
That's
what it's even like, we set these barriers for ourselves, and it's even like the procrastination of like the homework gets done right as the teacher walks in the door, or the last word is put on paper, or we get in the car from the grocery store today right at 1:59 when her call was at 2 p.m.
Because you always go to the end of the of your extent of what you need to do. You never. How many people run past the finish line when they're running a race?
Yeah.
And so we have this massive. It's so funny because competition is so fierce. And it's so intense that it pushes us to the limit that when we get to the finish line, we're like, I can't fucking run another step.
Yeah.
And that's so.
But if you were to put the mile at, I don't know, one mile, and you didn't tell people that, and then they got to the end, it's like, whew, and it's like, actually, you finished a mile ago. And then they're like, just fall across the finish line.
That's the whole point. It's that most of what we're doing is a mental thing.
Yeah.
And so what it is that no matter who you put in power, no matter who, I put the most gracious person on the planet, they still will have a tight race. I could have fucking said Gandhi versus fucking Donald Trump, and it might have still been a tight race.
Yeah.
I'm not even fucking with you. Mm-hmm. And so that is fascinating. It's fascinating to me that the world has more balance than we can ever try and throw off. And the more I try and do things, the less I actually achieve. The less I try, the more I get. And that's the beauty of what you learn when you put out like a fucking lavender picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You weren't really you were trying. I know you were trying because I know you. But the reality is from the outside perspective, you weren't trying and to some degree. And so they will respect that and they'll be like, oh, he does it so graciously. Like.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, no, we waited for the perfect time for the golden hour. I put on a certain shirt. I put you my did, pants on. I had a coffee.
You calculated the whole. There's a Pabst. I know. I saw the whole. You calculated every.
None of that was unintentional.
Every piece of it was completely intentional because I know you, mm-hmm. right? Like you made sure that you weren't wearing your green shirt because you have a bunch of pictures on Instagram in your green shirt. And, yep.
I was actually wearing it earlier that day.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So I know that you're intentional about those things. And it's so funny because that's the game that we play.
Mm-hmm.
That's the game that we're all playing at all times with all things. And we're all playing this slight game of chicken. And it's like the dominoes of the, like, look at the mastermind, right? Oh my God, it's January 2nd or 6th or something. We had like 10 people signed up. It was just over a month away. It started February 17th. We went from 10 people to 115 people. Why? Because it's easier to go, once you've done the first part of the curve, it is so much easier to go there. And I've done that in my career. And now I'm at the back half. It's like scaling the mountain. Do you want to climb Everest? Get 80% of the way up. Not too crazy. Like crazy. Like it's intense. But not great. Like not insane. Nobody dies at the bottom 80% almost. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny? Well,
the memories are made. What
separates the greats is who is going to go for the top. And I'm, you've caught up because I'm at the top. I'm getting to the thing. And I'm like, dude, every step is incrementally harder.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you can catch up because your steps at the beginning are easier, then eventually harder and harder. And then you're starting to see it. You're starting to feel it too. You're like, oh shit, I'm like, yeah, sometimes just because you have an idea doesn't mean I can execute on it. I'm like, well, that didn't used to be the case. Because mm-hmm. now you have enough on their plate that every step is incrementally harder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where many of us are at. And that's why the mastermind is a base camp. It's the base camp before the summit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's the last leg before the summit. And then in that base camp summit, you're going to have to camp. Like yeah. there won't be a base camp. You're going to literally have to chill on the mountain and then pick the right weather and the right time to go for it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been doing. That's what the sales pages are. The only reason I haven't launched Superhero Academy full on, full blast, the only reason I'm not in my personal Instagram as much as when I first started it is because I learned the tactics, but I'm calibrating all the other things to get to the summit. And that's I just understand that so fundamentally because I've tried to summit before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to turn back many times. You know what I mean? Like I've tried, I'm like, okay, I have to go back. And it wasn't fear. It really wasn't my fear that didn't keep me from summiting. It was legitimately the conditions I was in. It was like, look at wisdom. I build. I had all the different pieces. I had all the different, like, you know, Shoddy or whatever his family was potentially willing to build. Like we had all the structure, all the things were there to do it. But it was just not the right season. It was not the perfect angle of the sun and the perfect, you know, the too much wind, too much whatever.
Back. The guides told you they couldn't summit today.
You can't summit.
But you came all the way across the world.
But you came all the way across the world. You did all 6 months of training.
You tried to push them, but last time somebody pushed them, they died. And they can't be pushed anymore.
And that's a real reality in business. Yeah. In business, if you're going for it for real, you're going all out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, you know, at what point do I have to cut myself off of every other source of income so that I have to survive off Superhero Academy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At what point am I in the position where that's what I have to do, not what I get to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm getting to do it. And that's okay because I'm happy that way. I'm happy with the different pieces. And I could push a summit. If I needed to, I could push it. And I think I'm starting to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm now being like, okay, yeah, it's time.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I'm hope that's the case. Shit. I think you're ready.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say. I think we're ready.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do, there is no summit without you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no summit. Like, seriously, I mean that. I cannot get to the summit without somebody else. Mm-hmm. Nobody can truly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And somebody that's not going to fall in or yes, man, I guess, really.
Or somebody like, won't turn back.
Yeah.
Somebody who's like, when we're there and it's like, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be that moment. There's going to be the moment where you're at the brink of that death. You're at the brink of, it might completely keel over. No, but seriously, there has to be that moment
because
that's the hero. That's the last stage of the hero's journey as you go into that, you know, not the last stage. Really, it's actually not the last stage. It's kind of, it's right at the belly of the whale almost. Like you're right at that piece where you have to get past that and you have to get out, you know? So we're not at the clock striking 12. Clock striking 12 is that how do we go and do it and then do it for everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
That's the 6 to 12 route, right? Mm-hmm. Is that you start gearing up to doing it for everybody else. Now, luckily, we've actually built a lot of road from 6 to 12. We're going to run 6 to 12 faster than almost anybody. Yeah. But now we have to go 0 to 6 better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to start making my own content and doing some of the things. I know that, like, I've already got my plan of, like, how much I want in the bank, how much it's going to be rolled out. The distribution channels are there. Got a good feeling about it.
You have a plan of, like, a financial burn of what you think you're going to spend on...
On video production, yeah. I do in my mind.
What is that? I'm interested in...
About $200 a week for two videos.
$800 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So you're going to start filming them on your own and you're going to hand them off to who?
Probably Ricky.
Hmm. Yeah, that's why.
Or Time Wheel. Because they just did an edit for Jamie, which looks fucking sick. Even though they weren't supposed to do the edit, it looks sick.
They weren't supposed to do the edit?
There's two edits that they took over that I had tagged somebody else in the card for that wasn't their card, and they did them anyways, and now I looked in, there's two finished versions of...
I mean,
two,
that's cool.
It's cool.
But Zaid.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we're paying twice for two videos.
Why? Because Zaid already started?
He's done with both of them. And like they were already in there, already done and everything. And then he messaged me. He's like, why is did somebody else link another video in there of the same thing that I already did? And then I went in there and it was like, oh, man. Anyways, what they did is like, it's good though, because
now it gives us a comparison. Actually, it's funny.
And it's theirs is really good. Time Wheel did a good job. He said it took a while.
Time Wheels is better than Zaid.
I need to watch them both again, but they were close. If not, Time Wheel is probably better.
Well. This is what I mean by the competition. Competition is so fierce.
Yeah.
It's amazing how their price point is similar, right?
Yeah.
And like a couple of dollars one way or a couple of dollars the other way, we're all competing for the same dollars.
Yeah. But then I'm going to do one video more bigger in depth and then one more like funny text over video, like mm-hmm. kind of more personable. And then I'll do like images and I'll do just regular text. And I don't know exactly what I'm going to do in terms of the meme game yet. I just don't know what style I feel represents me quite yet. Something with a viola, but I just don't know what exactly.
I think you need to stick away from a viola. I think you need to go comedy, man.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious on my filler content. I'm not going to do anything inspirational. I'm not going to do like a Gary V quote isn't going to be on mine for essentially. It's going to be like a sentence or two that I come up with in my head or three that I come up with in my head. It's almost going to look like a tweet. Like a tweet is like how Prince will turn a tweet into something. That's what
you want to do your version of the tweet of everything. Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
But if you were to pay to make memes like real more non filler, because then I would just go comedy. I would just go straight comedy route if you could. Like make the fun like the things that you send, like the kind of things that you do in the story sometimes where you do like the fucking stupid zoom. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. that thing. Like you know what I mean? That's perfect for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's you get it's not because it elicits the reaction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I see your meme, I'm like, oh, support Garrett. Mm. Right? Quickly. Like I'll do that, but it's that like you make that joke that like that's where I see your brilliance. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I see what you could do.
Yeah, nobody else is doing it like that. I feel like everybody's doing the memes, everybody's doing the filler, everybody's doing the
yeah.
Stuff like that. So I think that's going to step across. People that aren't doing that are like Project Nightfall and Casey Neistat and Nas Daily and stuff like that. But he's also making a video a day. So
Nas Daily is, yes. Casey Neistat did too because he had to play the game to now win the game.
Yeah. But like even like smaller stuff, like it could be me just like jamming on a topic and just having like not be as intense, but kind of just a little like a minute. Action,
I think you should take
hit on like bigger topics like the food waste one done by Project Nightfall was just so fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So man, good. And it was like such an awesome message.
Mm-hmm.
And like I just loved it.
That message big
I
time.
I respect it so much. And yeah. I was like, that's cool how he integrated all that together. And mm-hmm. also I do want to talk about like social media and storytelling and kind of like what I'm geeking out on. And like I have my mini chat in my mind set up of like how I can ask the questions and then tag people a certain way where it can be like, this is what I talk about. Is there anything that you don't want to hear anything about? And then I can just kind of cancel anybody out from hearing anything that they don't really want to hear. But yeah. No, I mean,
You're going to cancel people out of topics.
Yeah, unless they want to hear them all. Unless it's just nobody's canceling anything out and I just have it in my mind and that people just want to follow whatever the fuck I'm talking about.
So you'll never have a general list. You'll just have the like Ryan Levesque.
I have a basically tagged list on MiniChat.
Yeah, but just you'll like, have the Ryan Levesque ask method.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then I'm just gonna add value, and then I'm gonna say turn on the notifications for me. And if you think that I'm fucking stupid, and you think that you accidentally hit on this thing, at least use this tactic to control your attention for yourself personally, and you don't have to do it on me. Do it on for somebody else. So it'd be like conversations like that. It's like, if you really like what I'm doing, you want to see it, take control of your time feed and hit see first on my post. If you don't necessarily want to see everything I do, still, you should be taking control of your attention and doing this.
For somebody else.
Just saying it.
Hmm. That's a good tactic. I like the tactic of that. I like the idea of the ask method.
Mm-hmm. and then tagging people, because there's always there's different stuff that I want to talk about.
Yeah. Well, you're well positioned to also siphon audience from multiple channels.
Yeah. Right. Sustainability and entrepreneurship specifically, and also consciousness and just story in general.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just tell a good story about somebody. Like, I had the idea of an organ. I wanted to like clip off someone of the girl talking about hemp and like add my own twist to it of somebody like the Nas Daily side of it. But I have like a bank and I'm going to go through that. And I've been treating my Saturdays and Sundays as more internal projects and contemplation. And like, I do everything from like I put no expectations on myself, and I still get a whole bunch done for Woodscrew and Super Academy and all these other things, but everything feels like a win. And I wish that every day felt like a Saturday or Sunday to me. And I feel like sometimes that's how it feels for, it's at least how I perceive some of the other creators, where it's like they just wanted to get that one clip done, and then everything else above that is
totally kind of
those
it's
wins.
It's always like that. It was what I was saying earlier. The I'm doing 2/3, 1/3. Right. Yeah. It's the work on the business or in the business. I used to tell you it as external, internal.
Yeah. Like intra and extra.
Intra, exactly.
Outro or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same lesson, right? It's the same lesson of like, do as much intra work as you possibly can, because you're going to want to do as much intra work as possible can. And it will help you with the outer work. But when you're on the come up, you're like, no, I just want to get there. And then you're, I want to get there. I'm like, yeah, you'll get to the base camp. Trust me. Mm-hmm. You will get there. But will you get there with all the right gear to go to the summit is another story. And I've had to go back many times. You know what I mean? That's why you are building in a way that is sustainable. You are not leaving that many pieces of gear behind yet. Mm-hmm. Now, if you start to, I will recognize the pattern because I can know that. What I don't know is how many people, I don't know that many summiters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, not personally anyway. And even because most people haven't summited in the way that I want to.
And yeah, your summit is like a Peter McKenna, Jesse, maybe not even Jesse Driftwood, but.
Yeah, Jesse Driftwood is not my style, but he stuff is great, but yes.
Yeah.
Casey Neistat or Peter McKenna is
Gary
more of a summit.
V.
Gary V like is more of a summit.
That scale.
Exactly. So, and I could interact if I want to, but I'm not ready to. And that's like, because I don't have enough to offer yet,
mm-hmm.
but I could, and this is where, again, you get back to like, but I have the marketing thing, so I could offer that, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is the best thing I can offer is that I would just join. Yeah. I would just be a part of 368.
There's no sale. It's just like, hey, let's just hang out. Let's create some content.
Yeah. And that's why I have to get back into editing. I legitimately have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even just overseeing what you do put through. There's some stuff
I have to oversee.
Like, some still stuff sitting in Trello where it's like you and Matt's name on there. And I'm like, what's going on with this? It's like, what feedback?
He delivered a bunch. Yeah. Yeah.
I know that a lot just recently came through.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Getting to the summit. I try to be the most strategically placed. Not the smartest in the room or the best in the room. I always try to be the most strategically placed.
But that's your genius.
Yeah.
You are genius at like you're because you're quiet, you actually get more than you would have asked for.
Yeah.
Like in my opinion, you wouldn't have asked for as much as you got in many scenarios. That's my opinion of who I think you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or what, where, and and that's the other thing. I actually forget that. I forget that you, and I, like, I'm happy with you getting more than what you would ask for. But what I'm trying to say is I forget that sometimes you aren't as confident as I am in certain elements of the process. I always feel like, oh no, you must be fine. Mm-hmm. And then actually it's when I speak to Samantha that I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe that wasn't clear. Like, maybe that isn't, you know what I mean? Like, maybe there is, like maybe I can be better at something, you know what I mean? And I know I'm like, I'm not really good at like, giving out. Like, she said it earlier. I was like, I was cleaning the fucking fridge door. And it was, like, dirt on it. And she's like, you never comment on how clean the house is. You just comment on when it's dirty.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but it's the equivalent of walking in a room, flicking on the light switch, and not being amazed that it turned on because it just happened so many times. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that is, I guess, the difference between gratitude and like a shitty attitude in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
I made that rhyme for the Facebooks. For the people.
Give them what they want.
Give them what they want. They want some rhymes. They really do want some rhymes. It's funny that we value rhymes so much. But anyway, so yeah, back to the idea of like, I forget that that's sometimes the case. I don't. So I apologize if sometimes I am pushing further than maybe... then maybe like I deserve and or that maybe you're comfortable with, but I'm not always aware. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. I'll see the benefit of everything as well too. So it's all strategic on my part as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I know. And like, that's like, it's not like a financial risk, but it's also like a time or energy or mental risk.
It's like
how
risk.
You can push yourself in that way. So it's kind of like as opposed to like cutting stuff off. It's like a different level of comfort zone.
Yeah. I feel like we're always tested with that. Like even this Facebook page purchase or whatever, right? Like we're tested with these types of things. And I'm not sure. I'm still not 100% sure which one was worth it or not worth it. You know what I mean? But I think we made the right, made the right move.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I think I'm going to end this here.
Let's get some poots in.
Let's get some poots. Later, alligator.
Peace.